Amen.
To God be the glory. We thank God, hallelujah, for Wednesday midweek service. We thank God for Word Wednesday, where we get the Word of God, hallelujah. Heaven and earth will pass away, but he said, my word will remain forever. So we thank God for this opportunity to teach and talk about the Word of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm excited about tonight's lesson. I'm excited about you who called in, those that will call in throughout this evening. We thank God for this midweek service that we have together, this time we have together, studying to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing God's word of truth. So we thank God, even in the first church, the first century church, right after Pentecost, right after the Holy Ghost fell on the upper room, 120, the Bible says, after that encounter, after that miracle, cloven tongues of fire sat on each one of them, and they began to speak in other utterances, other tongues. And then after that phenomenal, 3,000 people got added to the church as Peter stood up and preached, glory be to God, quoting from Joel, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that I will pour out in that day my spirit upon all flesh, and my sons and my daughters will prophesy. And people begin to believe on the things of Jesus Christ. And even after all of that, the Bible says they continued in doctrine. In other words, they stayed in the word. Amen. They stayed with the word. And we see with Philip and Peter and John and some of the Acts, the miracles found in the book of Acts with Paul, because they stay in the word. That's why Jesus said, when you meditate on his word day and night, you'll be like a tree planted. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. A tree planted near streams of living waters. And, you know, sometimes you see things getting dry in the wintertime, and now the trees are starting to blossom again. But it's nothing like, hallelujah, that tree by a stream of living water. When that tree is by water, when that tree, Job said, trees that are dying, if they even sniff or if they even sense water, they come alive again. Hallelujah. So it's never over until God says it's over. He said, Job said it could be a tree dying, and one little tip of the water, that tree knows that it can be birthed into something wonderful again. And that's how life can be. Life can be overwhelming. Life can sometimes be challenging. But if you don't lose hope, if you don't let this devil take your joy, hallelujah, if you don't let your circumstances get the best of you, because faith coming by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. So what we're talking about tonight, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We're going to pray before we start. But tonight I'm simply talking from this topic, from this subject, God, you get the glory. God, you get the glory. And we're going to see some scriptures tonight where God just got the glory. He wanted the glory. The situation of some of the people that we're going to look at tonight, it didn't look good. But when Jesus was traveling with his disciples, when he was showing them, changing the way that they think, showing them different miracles as he walked this earth with them, he began to change their mindset. And as they continued in life, it was all about God getting the glory. And he got the glory out of their lives, even though some of them became martyrs, and God still wanted to get the glory out of our lives. Amen? That's why I want to look at starting off, and then we're going to look at some of the people that God really got the glory through their lives. But let's look at Jesus, one of his final prayers in John 17, where he talks about the glory of God. He knew his purpose, and his purpose was coming to an end. You and I have purpose on our lives as well. God wants us to become world changers. Amen, somebody. We want to become world changers. Hopefully we can look at that part of scripture also. That's my intention tonight. A few people that became world changers with their encounter with Jesus Christ. But let's look at John chapter 17, verse 1 to 5. I'm going to read quickly these first two texts because I want to really get to John 9, where we see the man that was born blind. and God getting the glory out of his life. But John 17, verse 1 to 5 only. These words spoke Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify the Son, that the Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is the life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's John 3:16. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. Verse number 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I love that. He said before the world was, there was a certain glory before all this that we see, all this that we live in, all this air that we breathe. He said before creation, there was a certain glory with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I wasn't going to go there, but let me just back up what Jesus was saying. Go to John chapter 1, and then we're going to 2 Corinthians. But even as, because this is a Bible study, this is a Word Wednesday, and I want us to understand sometimes what the text is saying and where does it come from. But John 1, because you're going to have atheists, agnostic, you're going to have unbelievers debating you about the Word. And sometimes we got to give an account and give an answer for why we believe what we believe. And this is Jesus speaking of himself. And in his day, they called it blasphemy, but he was God in flesh, God incarnate in flesh. And what he said, there was a certain glory in John chapter 1. I'm not going to read a lot. I'm just going to read verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what Jesus was simply saying. Jesus was there in the beginning before creation. And he was just saying, I was the light. I was the life of all men, even before all this began. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians, because we're talking about God getting the glory tonight. I want to focus on the word glory a little bit. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And then we're going to get to John 9. I'm moving fast in the beginning, but we're going to slow it down a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I pray you're writing these scriptures down where you can look at them at a later time and get it in your spirit. Because there's nothing, it's one thing to hear, but when you're looking and reading the ink, when you're looking and reading your app, it sticks a lot better. Hallelujah. It's something about our brains that work like a computer. When that information comes in, it sticks, because the enemy, he's afraid of those that know the word. When Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written, the devil ain't had nothing for him. Amen, somebody. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse number 2. You are our epistle written in the hearts, known and read of men. People are watching your life, and they're reading your life, and they're looking at your life. Verse number 6, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. He was simply talking about the Ten Commandments. Back in the day, there was a certain judgment in the Old Testament where you didn't keep certain laws, there were certain consequences. But now that Jesus came full of grace and mercy, hallelujah, thank you, God. When Jesus came, everything began to change. The law everything was subject to the grace and mercy of God. Verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What he is saying there is that we as human beings, we're flawed. Sometimes we're broken. Sometimes we're misread. Sometimes we miss it. We make mistakes. We sin. We fall short. But he said, even in that, he's taking you and I from glory to glory. Thank you, Jesus. So you can never, therefore there is no condemnation. We can never beat ourselves up so much so that we stop moving forward by faith. I wish I can go to Abraham. Abraham and Sarah, they messed up, but they kept moving forward and they got the promise. And that's all God is asking for you and I tonight. Sometimes when we miss it, we heard it on the prayer line last night. Some people say, now that I know better, I do better. I've learned to give God the glory for my career, for my marriage, for my health, for my second chances. I'm giving God the glory for opening my eyes to my blessings and not being ignorant of what he has done and what he is doing. I'm opening my eyes to see God can take care of my family, that God can fix my marriage, that God can heal my body and get the glory, that God can get me back on my feet. That's how God gets the glory out of our life. And now we're going to look at this man in John chapter 9 and see how God sometimes works through you and I and gets the glory through our life. John chapter number 9. I'm going to slow down a little bit now because I really want us to see this, and I'm going to skip through it. But if you read John chapter 9, it's going to bless you. It's going to bless you. It's 41 verses, but read the entire thing. We're not going to read it tonight. I'm going to skip through it. Hallelujah. But let's look at verse 1 to, I'm just going to read. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? This is how God gets the glory out of our life. Look at verse number 3. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Thank you, God. God wants to work on us first, then he wants to work in us, then he wants to work through us that he can get the glory from us. God will work on us. When I got saved, hallelujah, I had issues, I had problems, I had trouble. I'm not exempt even today, but I remember 24 years ago, my condition, my state, and I needed God. And God began to work on me first. He began to work on me, changing my mindset, giving me a peace which surpassed all understanding, giving me hope and encouragement in my broken state. Then he began to work in me, changing my heart, hallelujah, toward from things that I went through as a young man, changing my mindset. He began to work in me, hallelujah. Now as a man of God, now as a Christian, now as a follower of Jesus, he wants to work through me. Thank you, God. And that's how he gets the glory. When Pastor and I pray for people, like they said on the prayer line last night, we just touch and agree. We are trying to be as humble as we can and let God use us. It is not us. It is God working in us and through us. And we thank God, and we're humbled by the opportunity that he wants to use us in a certain capacity in our generation. I'm humbled by it. And anytime I get off track, I'm just talking about me, God tells me simply, and ask me a question, anytime I try to get or veer off track, God says, do you love me? And that gets my attention every time, because I, for one, love God. And I know I'm talking to some people that love God. When you love God, your life, certain things that go wrong in life, certain hardships, certain things that are not right, certain things that you're still believing God for, when you refocus and say, God, I love you. That's why we say he's good all the time, and all the time God is good, because the Bible says God first loved us before we loved him. So before we got the knowledge that, yes, we love God because he did these things for us, now those of us who are mature in the things of God can unashamedly say, I love the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Now let's keep reading, because we're going to see how God gets the glory out of this man's life. Verse number 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Verse number 6, when he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground. He made a clay with the spit, and he anointed the man's eyes, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed, and he came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, here's the glory, his neighbors now. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Glory. Therefore said they unto him, how were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus, come on somebody, made clay, and he anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Glory be to God. God is saying to somebody tonight, I'm about to give you an unusual and an uncommon blessing. Jesus is radical sometimes. He could have just laid hands. He could have just spoke the word as we've seen in other scriptures. But no, he made a clay. He put it on the man's eyes. He spit saliva out of his mouth. It was a unique, uncommon, unusual blessing. And hallelujah, God is saying that to somebody tonight. I'm going to do an unusual thing in your life. I'm going to do a common thing in your life. I'm going to do something that has not been done before. I wish somebody would receive that tonight, that God's going to do something in your life that you are going to give him the glory. Amen. That's what Pastor Rebecca said last night when the atheist was saying, well, how can you prove it? Are you going to be an apologetic? Are we going to have a great debate? She simply said, listen, I know the Lord changed me. I know God touched me. I had an encounter with the Almighty. My testimony, that's what this blind man was saying. I was blind, but now I see. So he's real to me. And sometimes your testimony is all the proof you need. Somebody needs to know how far he's brought you. Somebody will ask you, well, what has this Jesus done for you? He gave my joy back. Hallelujah. He made me smile when I felt like crying. Glory be to God. He gave me a peace which surpassed all understanding. Hallelujah. God has done something great in your life. So when we witness to people, when we tell people about coming to church and reading the Bible, when we pray for people and share our testimony, this is how God gets the glory. We're talking about God getting the glory tonight. There's something about the glory of the Lord. We read it in 2 Corinthians. He said, where the glory of the Lord is, there is liberty. When God's glory show up, Pastor said the glory was in our church on Sunday. When God's glory show up, there is liberty. Amen. There is liberty. Because the glory of the Lord will shine in your life. The glory, oh my God. Let's go to my God. God's glory. Let's see what the glory is all about. Go to Exodus chapter number 34. Pastor, you talk about glory. What do you mean glory? You know, this is one form of glory that I'm about to show you. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter number 34. Hallelujah. Let's see. When we talk about glory, people can look at your life and they'll see. We're going to come back to the blind man because I'm not done in John chapter 9. But Exodus 34, verse number 27. When I talk about the glory of God, I love the Old and New Testament. That's why it all fits together. We got to know the whole counsel of the Word. And when I'm talking about God getting the glory tonight, there's something about the glory of the Lord. We said it last night when I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It said the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and they could not come in and minister because the glory of the Lord filled the church. And let's see about God's glory here. As Moses encountered the glory, Exodus chapter 34, verse 27. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenure of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. And he did neither eat nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets, two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses was not that the skin of his face shine while he talked with them. My God. As Moses began to talk with them, his face began to shine. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shined, and they were afraid to come near him. And Moses called unto them and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation and returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them in the commandment all the Lord has spoken with them in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off of his face until he came out. And he came out and spoke to the children of Israel that which is he commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that his skin of Moses was shining. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with them. This is so powerful. Moses is in the presence of the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights without eating food, without drinking water. Moses is given commandment by God to write what God gives him on two tablets of stone, which is called the Ten Commandments. And Moses is there with the Lord. There's a glory. Moses is not dead. Moses is still alive. But the glory of the Lord has altered his human body. My God. So much so that when Moses began to transfer the message of the Lord to the people of God, the children of Israel and Aaron, the Bible said when he began to speak, the glory began to, oh my God, the glory began to shine through Moses because he was in the presence of the Lord. Come on, somebody. So when God gets the glory, God, hallelujah, will allow your life That's why the Bible says, what is the scripture? I just read it on, the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter number 5, he said, let your light, here it is, this is how the Bible fits together. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify, we're talking about glorify your Father which is in heaven. Good works equals the glory. And Moses, when he began to talk to the people, had to put a veil over his face. But when he went back in the presence of the Lord, he wanted that glory. Come on, somebody. Moses said, bring it on. Give me more glory. Give me more of you, God. Give me more anointing. Give me more oil. Give me more fire. Give me more power. Who is that for tonight? Give God praise that you're going to get more power. Give him praise right now that God's going to give you greater oil, a greater anointing. God is going to give you greater blessings. God is going to perform more miracles in your life. God is going to give you more blessings down the road. God is going to fix stuff that you have not even prayed for down the road. God is going to allow your ladder to be your greater. That's why we can't be afraid of the glory. We got to come toward the glory. That's for you who come to Bible study on Wednesday night, who come to church on Sunday, who come to prayer. You're hungering and thirsting after the things of God. You're chasing after God. And through that, there's a certain glory that's reciprocated in your life. That's why people can't figure you out. That's why you're unique in the world. The Bible says, oh my God, go back to John 9. Go back to John 9 because I'm not done with this. And then we're going to go to Romans 12. Romans 12. John 9. Okay, this man now has his sight. Look at verse number 15. Let me see where I'm going to pick this up, because I'm going to show you sometimes when you get the glory, you're still going to have naysayers. You're still going to have people who are cynical and critical. John chapter 9, verse 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put the clay on my eyes and he washed, and I see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keep not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they, verse number 19, and they asked them, they asked the parents now, and they asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see? His parents answered them and said, we know not this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now see, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spoke the parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Miracles are not enough for some people. Sign, wonders, and miracles is still not enough evidence that God is real to some people. My God, help me, Holy Ghost. It is a sad day when a person's heart can become so hard that they don't even receive an obvious supernatural phenomena that they won't change their position and what they believe about God. I'm so glad not growing up in church, not knowing the Bible, not knowing the things about the things of God, that when God began to change me, when I began to come around other Christians, when I began to hear testimonies, how God was getting people off of drugs, how God was allowing people to be free from strongholds from the past, how God was radically changing the lives of hundreds of people in the church that I was a part of. I began to see fruit in my life and fruit in other lives, and I did not harden my heart, but I began to soften my heart. That's how God gets the glory out of our life. You have some people that instead of softening their heart, they harden their heart. The Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart that Pharaoh would not bow, but there is no other place in Scripture where the Bible says God hardens our heart. That is up to us to harden our heart. So I pray that we never get to that place where our heart is hardened. And, you know, I was in a hospital, and sometimes I had a roommate, and I would share with them about my story. And sometimes my wife or a pastor friend or somebody would come to the hospital, and after the visit, we would have a conversation. I'm laying in my sick bed, they're laying in their sick bed, and they say, wow, you know, you're a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. You know, he saved my life. That's confessing with my mouth and believing in my heart that Jesus is Lord. He said, yeah, you know, that's good. People come to pray with you, and I see a faith making a difference in your life. And as I would talk to them, you know, they said, you know, I want to believe like that. And I said, you can, you know, if you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. He said, yeah, but, you know, and we would go back and forth. But a few of the guys, that they just would not, you know, kind of come on over. But they would see after the visitation how my spirits was lifted. And after the conversation, they go back to whatever it was they were doing, and I go back to my faith in God. And I had one roommate, he was just cursing up something awful. And he didn't say anything to me after sometimes people visited me, because he just, you know, just was, wow, I felt for this man. And God is saying sometimes, like this man who was blind but now he see. Last week and Sunday, I talked about believing God for breakthrough. It doesn't say anything about this man believing God for a breakthrough. Jesus simply said he was born blind that I might get the glory out of his life. And sometimes God is just that good to you and I. He gives us stuff that we didn't even ask for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He blesses us with things that we didn't even know we needed. God gives us stuff that we don't even know we're in need of. That's the God that we serve. So when we say God is provident, he always has the right to override our will. Because the Bible says sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. We think we do, because we see a trouble and we don't like a certain trouble in our life, and we begin to pray for God to remove that trouble, but God knows better than us sometimes what we really need under the surface. And I'm so glad that God loves you and that God loves me enough to give us what we need more than sometimes what we want. Amen. Because let's just read about prayer. I'm going to go there, and then I didn't forget I want to go to Romans 12. But let's look at Romans 8 first. Look at Romans 8 first, and then I'm going to go to Romans 12, where we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. But when I'm talking about sometimes we don't know what to pray, Paul writes to the church at Rome. These are his Jewish brothers and sisters. These are Jews he's writing to. People that's been in church. People that know the law. People that understand the Torah. And listen what Paul writes to them. Romans 8, verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man see, why does he need to hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit, capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit, also helps our infirmities. That's just not sickness, but that's all the ills in our life. For we know not what we should pray, my God, for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searched the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And that famous verse. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. That's why I talked about loving God earlier. To them that love God, you love God, I love God. This is why things work on our behalf. To them who are called according to his purpose. The Bible says that you and I, we don't hope for what we already have, what we already see, but we hope for that which is invisible, that which has not happened yet. That's why you can never lose your hope. I hope God give me a job. I hope God heal my body. I hope the Lord fix my marriage. I hope God help me to pay my mortgage and my rent this month. I hope God get me out of this situation. He said, that's the stuff you got to hope for. Don't allow this world to put you in denial. That's why we're going to go to Romans 12 in a minute. He says, don't be like this world. The world is giving up on hope. The world is becoming hopeless, but that's not for the Christian. That's not for the believer. We never lose hope. Paul tells you and I tonight to keep our hope alive. And then when it comes to praying, yes, bring your supplications and your petitions before the Lord. Ask God for what you need. But there are those times where the Spirit overrides your will. It gives you utterance which cannot be repeated. Glory be to God. It comes with groanings which cannot be uttered. Glory be to God. And it begins to make intercession. Hallelujah. It begins to stand in the gap between you and I. God and you and me, and God and Jesus. Jesus stands in the gap through the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not an it. It's a person. The Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity, and he stands in the gap making intercession, praying for you, praying for me, praying for us. And then he says, and we know that all things work together for the good. I pray you get that down in your spirit on tonight. It's going to work out for your good. It may be a hard 2019 so far for you, but it's going to work for your good. 2018 may have been a challenging year, and some of it crossed over into 2019. But God is telling me to tell you tonight, your ladder will be greater in this year. Hallelujah. It's going to work for your good. Next month is going to be better than this month. Next week is going to be better than this week. Tomorrow is going to be better than today. I pray that you receive it by faith in the name of Jesus. This is how God continues to get the glory out of our life. When we start applying the word of God to our lives, we win with the word. We overcome with the word. We become more than conquerors with the word of God. We speak a blessing with the word, and we get healed with the word. We get deliverance with the word of God. Paul used the word. Peter and the disciples used the word. The first century church use the word of God. Your modern day Billy Grahams use the word of God to win many souls for Christ. And God is saying to us tonight, study my word. But don't just think it, begin to speak it. Begin to quote it. Begin to decree and declare it. Begin to confess the word of God. By his stripes I am healed. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who gives me strength. I'm above and not beneath, the first and not the last. I'm the head and not the tail. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that I full well know. We got to declare this word over our life. Go to Romans 12. You're still in Romans, just go three chapters up. Actually, four chapters. Go to Romans 12. God, get in the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man, time is getting away from me. But we're gonna keep going. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. I heard on a prayer line last night that we should not think too highly of ourselves, but through the mercies of God, we should be grateful. We should be so thankful. We should be so appreciative of what God is doing, what he has done, and what he will do. We thank God. I thank God for 22 years of marriage. I thank God for 31 years of working at FedEx. I thank God for saving all of my children and my grandchildren. I thank God for my church family at New Creation Christian Ministries. I thank God for my apostle. I thank God for the bishop. I thank God, hallelujah, for everything and everybody and everyone in the name of Jesus. I thank God for all who call on the name of the Lord, the body of Christ at large, in the name of Jesus. I thank God for clergy, apostles, and bishops, and pastors, and the fivefold ministry. I thank God for every believer, the one sitting in the pew and the one speaking from the pulpit. I give God praise, even for my family. I got a call from one of my brothers the other day, and I was so happy. I was so happy to hear from my brother that I haven't heard from in a long time. And things like that, when you look at your family, when you look at your loved ones, when you see God doing a work in those that you care about, it's not just about us. We said that on Sunday, but God is no respecter of persons. That's why he said, offer your bodies. Let that body get to church. Let that body be well when you go to work and people see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your body not go certain places that it shouldn't be going. Offer your body a living sacrifice unto God. Let it be holy. Let it be acceptable. That is your reasonable service. And then he said, we preached that thing on Sunday, we got to get our mind right. Don't allow our minds to be conformed no longer to this world. The world's trying to program us. The world is trying to condition us. The world is kind of trying to control us. But now we are kingdom. Now we have a kingdom mindset. Now we, glory be to God, we have the mind of Christ. His thoughts have to become our thoughts. His ways must become our ways. And that's why if you're a part of New Creation Church, if you hear Pastor and I preach or teach, it says it right here, every man, every woman have been given a measure of faith. Everything is through faith, beloved. It's by grace through faith. Everything we do is by grace through faith. We got saved by faith through grace. That's salvation. Everything we do is by faith through grace. That's why Jesus came full of grace. And the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Amen. Glory be to God. Let's look at another scripture tonight. Oh, boy, so many I need to go to. But I want to go here to Daniel 3. Daniel 3. Let's see how God got the glory out of his situation. Daniel. These three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My God, it's so powerful. Anytime I'm going through some type of fiery trial, a real hard time, I see how God got them out of this situation. And I don't think you and I have faced anything like this. So nothing is impossible with God. But Daniel chapter 3, verse number 17. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. They said God is able. And then they backed it up with saying, God will. Are y'all listening to God tonight? Verse number 18. But it's not. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Look at verse number, I'm not going to read it all because it's too much. Look at verse number 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and he rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, true that, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. I love this. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the kings and the counselors, they all gathered together, and they saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power over, nor was any hair on their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. My God. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed, here's the glory, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Look at the glory in verse number 29. Therefore, I make a decree. Listen to the king, y'all, that every person, every nation, every language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. King got converted. He changed the nations. He changed the cities. He changed every language and said, we're going to serve that God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They got the glory because they did not bend and they did not bow. Who is that for tonight? You did not bend. You did not bow. You did not compromise. You did not settle. And God saw you stand and stood until. And now God is about to bless you because you did not give in. You did not cave in. God is about to get the glory out of your life. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not look, Pastor, they did not look like what they've been through. Oh, glory be to God. Ah, hallelujah. Somebody on this line tonight, you don't look like what you've been through. They went through the fire, and the scripture said their clothes did not smell like smoke. Their hair was not burned. Hallelujah. Their skin was not altered. Their bodies was not burnt by the fire at all because the fourth man showed up. Ha! Pinnable Shakara. In the name of Jesus, beloved person of God, maybe you have not known, maybe you have not acknowledged, but I'm here to remind you that Jesus did show up. Jesus did show up in your situation. When you went to court, Jesus showed up. When you went to surgery room and you went to OR, the operating room, Jesus did show up. When you was on welfare, hallelujah, Jesus showed up. When you took that test, Jesus showed up. When you were going through and you went through and you did not know the way out, Jesus showed up. He carried you. He protected you. He provided for you. He covered you. That's the God that we serve. That's how he gets the glory, church. That's how God gets the glory out of our lives. Never will I leave them. Never will I forsake them. Because they said, people said, it sounded like they doubted, because in verse 18, they said, even if he don't deliver us, O king. No, go back to verse number 17. They said, because we gotta see the law of first mention. This is what they first said. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. That's the confidence they had in God. And then they said, he will deliver us. And you don't think Jesus is about to show up? That's what the devil is afraid of, you and I getting that kind of faith, having that kind of confidence in God. The devil is so afraid of you and I believing in God, so much so that doesn't matter how dark it gets in our life, we know that God is going to show up. Amen. I wasn't going to go to the scripture, but we're going to close here. I hope I can find it. I'm going on my recollection. But go to Matthew chapter 16, I believe it is. Actually, I think that's, see, that's why I shouldn't try to even find it. I'm going to try to find that text. Hallelujah. God bless you. If I can't find it, I'm going to quote from it, but I'm going to try to find it. In the name of Jesus. I'm looking for when Jesus came to them on the fourth watch and the storm was on the water and he told them to go to the other side. But he came in the fourth watch. That's what I was looking for. And I don't know where that text is, but I'm going to find it. He came to them in the fourth watch. It's in Mark. That's part of what I want. Thank you, Pastor. Matthew chapter 14, people of God. I think that's the one I want. Matthew 14. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Walking on the sea when he came walking on the
sea. Yes. Amen. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 14. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. We're going to start at verse number 22. Matthew 14, verse number 22, and we'll close out here. Hallelujah. It is in Mark. Praise God. I think this is the one that makes it. Yeah, this is the one I want to read right here. This is a better one. Mark kind of abbreviates it. But let's go to Matthew 14, starting at verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before them to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray, and the evening was come, and he was still left alone. But the ship was now in the middle of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary to it. Verse number 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, lo, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Thank you, God. God will show up in the nick of time. God will show up at the last minute, but he will show up. God will come just when you need him to come. He told them to go to the other side, and I don't know where you're going in God. I don't know what God told you to do, but you will get to your destination. The storms may come. People may come against you. Opposition may rise against you. The devil may resist your effort. But if God be for you, who can be against you? You will get to the other side. You will get that degree. You will get that promotion. You will get your healing. Hallelujah. You will be delivered. Glory be to God. You will reach your destination. So the storms may come, but God's going to get the glory. Pastor, how did God get the glory out of that text? Peter walked on water. Peter walked on water. The other 11 disciples saw him, and they began to give Jesus and God the glory. And that's what God is saying. When the miracle is manifested, I'm going to get the glory. When you get set free from your infirmity, I'm going to get the glory. When you get out of that predicament that you're in right now, I'm going to get the glory. When you come through that storm and when you break through and break out, I'm going to get the glory. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for all of us who want you to get the glory out of our lives. We want a well done, Lord. We want a good and faithful servant at the end. So, God, while we are yet in the land of the living, show us how you can get the glory out of our lives. And help us be obedient to your will. So, God, I thank you for the listeners tonight. I thank you for those that would listen to the archives, that their hearts will be encouraged that you're going to get the glory, and they too will be glorified. So, God, I thank you for this opportunity to bring your name praise and glory, that men and women will see our good works and glorify you who are in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Join us on Sunday, 12:30. We're going to have a powerful service on Sunday. God has been moving. We're having Holy Communion. It's the first Sunday in the month of April. And we thank God for you tonight, 12:30, 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey. Please sow a seed into our ministry. We thank God for you and your faithful giving to help us do this ministry. Go in peace and serve the Lord. We thank God for you. Amen. Love you. Good night, everyone. God bless.